All right. We are now recording. Let's kick off this April 11th edition of the Architecture Working Group for OpenIDL. As usual, OpenIDL meetings are covered under the Linux Foundation antitrust policy. If you have questions about the antitrust policy, feel free to contact your company counsel or Andrew Updegrove of the firm Gesmer Updegrove LLP, who provides legal counsel to the Linux Foundation. I'm going to do attendance. I'll fill in names as we get started. I'll do that while y'all are just having a discussion. But the agenda for today is pretty simple. We want to continue the discussion around the OpenIDL adapter and the member enterprise. We had started this last Monday. We continued it in the TSC call on Thursday. And I'm going to turn the mic over to Ken and let him kick it off. And Ken, if there after this call, if there are any other diagrams you want me to start including in the agenda docs. We do link out to things when I have the URLs, but just let me know. You're up, Ken.
Yeah, these URLs are all internal right now. I'll publish documents as they seem, you know, usable by people.
Perfect.
Okay. So, David, we didn't have you on Thursday when we were continuing to discuss this. Anybody able to see my screen?
We had a Thursday meeting?
Yeah, it's every other week the TSC meets.
Did I not have that again?
I did not have that meeting. I am going to individually invite everyone once again. Hi. Oh, sorry. I apologize for that.
I have a meeting this week.
This Thursday?
Yeah, I've got one on for the 14th, it looks like.
All right, David, I'll check in with you offline on that one.
That's interesting. All right, so we kind of left off talking about the adapter. And that's this guy. When I'm talk, I don't take good notes. Do you know exactly where we left off? What we were trying to step up, talk about next is basically, I know that we wanted to talk about how we host the adapter, like what is the technology that we keep the different pieces, like what container technology we use, Docker or something. What is the adapter itself? Is it something that we're prescribing, or is it just assuming it's a container management system that runs that, and how do we integrate with the other pieces of the architecture? But don't have a specific spot to pick up. I think we can just start talking about the pieces that are in the adapter. And
Did we stop, I assume, on what the functions of the adapter are? I assume that's what was discussed on Thursday. I'm assuming.
Yeah. So, we were talking about the different pieces of this, what each one does, right? But I don't remember exactly how much we said on Thursday versus last Monday. So we can just go back through the flows, because one of the open items was where's the consent take place, and I think I'd like to do. To go back to that particular item and say, is consent something that has to happen before an extraction? So can we consent, when we consent, does the extraction have to happen right when we consent, right? We kind of didn't really, at least I didn't capture the note of what's the reality there, right? We talked about the flow of putting the data into the HDS, but then when you consent, you might consent in general for data calls, and they automatically happen. But so that the extraction would happen on our specified date for a data call. And I think the same was true because of data calls, the same would be true for, sorry, because that works for step statistical reporting, we would do the same thing for data flows, that you can consent any time, but it wouldn't be extracted until the maturity of the data call or the maturity of this stat statistical report. Did we decide what the reality there is? I'd like to write it down. Remember that discussion? I know, Truman, you participated in that.
We've got a recording, and I can look at the transcript right now if you want to keep going.
Because it's kind of an important part about how this thing runs, right? If you consent 2 weeks ahead of the finish of the data call, then the extraction runs then you're assuring that all the data required for that data call is there already. And we can't really do that for a stat report.
Do we have to make the decision of what the business process is going to be like today, as opposed to just the functionality exists to consent or not? Like, we don't have to decide how we want to run it, but
no, we don't need
that functionality.
Yeah, it's an open thing. So it's a good point. We can talk about, there's a consent that has to happen, and then there's an extraction that has to happen, right? So,
but before that, you need to know what is available to consent to, right? So the first transaction is the every day, right? Is the data available for whatever it might be needed to be used for, right? That's, so if you go back to the other diagram that you just had, what's the thing that occurs when the ETL happens? That data is loaded to the harmonized data store, and an attestation of data being now in the system is saved up to the network as a hash of a new chunk of data, right? In order for that data to be used for multiple cases, there needs to be some level of attestation of quality and integrity of that data, right? Such that it can be, you know, that now it's there for many purposes, not we're going to add it after you ask, or, you know, try and, you know, unwind the thing, you know, when the request comes in that wasn't anticipated, right? So the first attestation that needs to be made to the network, the first transaction, is another X of data was loaded and is suitable for reporting, let's say annual stat reporting, right?
So I thought of one of the things I thought we had decided was that really the attestation has to happen at extractions, because there's different.
I think it's too complicated to try to say, okay, if I do a data load and say there's 13 data calls or stat plans that could all be satisfied by that chunk of data, I don't want to write 13. Yep, it satisfies this, this, and this. I think it's more about on extraction, there is a check that says, yes, this data meets the requirements, right? I don't think it.
But you can't reverse engineer the entire year each time, because if any part of it fails, the whole integrity of the whole is lost, right?
Yeah, so, but I think that's
extremely fragile, right? Until you say, you know, if you again, you need to verify that the data has integrity when you extract it. Yes, otherwise it's not eligible for extraction. But it's got to be maintained before extraction, before consent is even an option, right?
I don't think so. I mean, if we're writing data every day, right? Because that's say we get to that point where mm-hmm. every day it gets written.
What are you maintaining every day?
I'm just saying, if for example, we're not going to do it every day, but
no, let's say we did. Every day, the state of a policy exists, right? The question is how accurate is it? Is it to the day, to the minute, or to the
month? Well, that's the thing. Right. I feel like you don't need to attest to that every time you make a write. So if you made an hourly write or a daily write or a monthly write, you don't have to attest that this is good to this granularity, this granularity, this granularity, and this granularity.
Just a level. Is it good enough for statistical reporting data? Like, is it stat?
But why can't that occur on extraction? I don't see a reason why it can't.
It can, but only when it does the one thing. When it does anything else, like when you want to use for, you know, different data for something other than the original intended purpose, you've got to rewind the whole thing. And the problem is that we're dealing with chunks and batches right now, not a definitive bookended segment of data that, you know, like what we have is one line of business, one month, one company is kind of the smallest granularity, but it's not tracked in that way. It's tracked as it's loaded, right? So as a batch and a chunk, which is a functional level of integrity. So when it's used for only one purpose, that's fine. But if any chunk or batch loses it, right? So you go back and say, oh yeah, I want to rehash this data to see if it matches when I go time to use it, the odds of that working, if there's no mechanism to make sure the elements that make up, you know, the time period, you know, again, the data that's being requested, which again is just policy data over a time period, right? Claims experience, exposure experience, whatever that experience is over a time period. If each policy is known to, if the history of each policy during the time period is known to be good, then we're good. If some policies are known to not be good or slower, then you can degrade your data pool. If some of it's very high confidence, very fast, some of it's less fast, less high confidence, the pool can be used for different things. And at some point, it's not good enough to be used in its entirety for any particular thing.
One of the other things we talked about was establishing certain, I don't know what the word is, but as part of the standard, certain tiers or levels of right. verification that the data can be for which the data can be attested, right? So that you say this is good monthly data for statistical reporting, whatever that means, or it's to level three so that we can do, you know, reports on bins. I don't know what those are, but as part of the standard, we define those, and the only way to attest that your data is meeting those before a data call comes along is to have those specific things clear, right? So that when you put data, you can say my data meets this standard, and then when a request comes along, it says the data must meet this standard for me to execute, right? Isn't that how we put it?
I think what I'm trying to get at is we want to get out of having to keep track of and attest to a lot of different granularities it satisfies. To us, what we really want is here are the data elements that need to exist, and you must maintain them in this format. That's it, right? And we don't have to worry about it. It's all captured by the fact that the data should exist in this format, in this store. Right. And if we maintain that, then any checks against that data, you know, assuming we are loading it, and then maybe there's some metadata that needs to be in there about this last data load is valid up to some time. And that could be some metadata that gets added somewhere. We can figure that out. But that's all we should have to do. And then if the check for a data call or a stat plan says, hey, you know, this data needs to be good from this period to this period, it must be of a certain format, and it must be so, fresh. Let's just say it fresh. I don't know. I don't know exactly all the requirements that it must be, but it checks all those boxes. Then, okay, pull the data. Does that make sense? We don't want to have to think about those things. We just want to put the data into this store in the agreed upon format, and that's it.
But we do have to know that the data meets that standard somehow.
That should be accomplished by the data standard itself, right? So if you need data from January to January of 2019 in some format, and it must be accurate as of what date, those are the requirements, right? It has these fields. It's accurate as of this date. There is nothing left out. That's the data standard. And you should be able to check that really easily on extraction by saying, you know, either by self-inspection of the data, but that can be a little tricky, or by some maybe metadata that is written, like, when is this data valid through?
Yeah, I think that's my question is, do we expect the ETL to place a piece of metadata into the HDS that says, I've just put, and I attest that all of the data for the month of January for Bob is there to this level, right? Somebody's got to, because the extraction can't ask the data, are you valid, right?
I guess in theory you could, but it would require the latest date of upload to be considered the freshness date, right? You could infer it, right, in theory.
Well, if you don't have any transactions on that last date, which you guys will always have.
But it's not the best way to do it, right? So I think it'd be better to, in the standard, put a little piece of metadata or two that makes it explicit. I think that's preferable.
Right. So by explicit, that means the ETL has to put it there.
Yeah. However we define it, right? It's probably the same ETL process, most likely. But because I could see a case where the ETL runs the day after the next valid day, right? So, you know, all data valid through January 31st, but the ETL ran February 1st, right? So you want it to be explicitly say it's through January.
Right. Something.
Yeah. I think that'd be easier because then it decouples it and then it allows whatever data call author or stat plan author to say, hey, they basically told me that these are the data elements. Are they all there? Yep. In order to run this, I need valid data for all of 2019. Is it saying that this data is fresh through the end of 2019? Yes. Extract.
So what happens when a new data call comes along that requires different data configuration, a new field, right, that wasn't there before?
Well, that to me is kind of like a business process discussion about how we want to handle that. The idea to me would be data call authors should try, for the most part, most data calls, to sit within the bounds of what's already there. And then when there is a desire to add, that's done through a separate process, right? I thought that was through like the likes and then dislikes. I don't know if there's a dislike button, but the likes. And then if they say, hey, this is the new data standard because we got enough consensus that we want to add these elements, and that just becomes new elements that get added. But those should be very rare.
Yeah. So I think my question, it sounds obvious, but there's a nuance I want to chase, right? So clearly, if we have new data required, we've got to change the standard to add a new tier or change a tier to say this now includes this. So what I'm wondering is, do we have to go against data that's already been published and retrofit that, or is it always a moving forward kind of thing that from now on we're going to? So actually, like if we add a new field, is there any reason to worry about data that's already there going back and fixing it or adding to it, or is it always moving forward?
I think it would start eroding the value proposition if we had to be that concerned about old data, right? I think go forward would make it cleaner, right? That's just my thoughts, because the idea here is we get to, I don't want to say go on autopilot, but have a very defined set of data reporting requirements, and changing it too often and making it too backwards compatible starts eroding that value prop in my mind.
Okay, let me make sure I touch this.
I mean, I don't know what anyone else thinks, but I'm just, from the carrier point of view, that starts, and again, these are more business than technical discussions, but that's where I'm at right now.
Well, I think the value is achieved by the organization when it increasingly becomes a data store that is usable, you know, by different parts of the organization, you know, and the necessity of that being understood as what is and is not in this data store, how fresh is it, you know, and what is the opportunity for that to be, you know, that level of data store to deliver information to whatever the constituency is that's operating at that level, you know, is the definition there, right? So, you know, but the, you know, the key is that it's usable for multiple purposes. And, you know, one of the things I heard you say is that it should be very rare. It's like, I you know, I want to understand exactly what, you know, as far as adding new fields.
Yeah, so like, right, so I guess I was looking at
field to the data standard in the stat plan in, you know, a couple of decades, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm not going to speak for the regulatory folks on exactly what less rare is, but I will say, you know, looking at the comparison of ISO versus ISS versus AIS fields, right? They're pretty well defined what needs to be there, right? If that started changing every few months or every 6 months or every year, the stuff that needed to be available, I could see someone going, well, how did this help? We used to just have to report these known fields, right? I understand we want people to have better data to make better decisions, true. But if I have to constantly be updating across all these lines, all these fields on a pretty regular basis, it starts looking like, wow, this might not have been such a benefit to begin with.
So isn't, now,
you know what I mean?
Isn't the current model that a data call is kind of like a one-off? You have to go, maybe you have some you can reuse for a new data call because you've gotten the same kind of data. Right, we're in the same model. We're not going to change the fact that oh, now it's wildfires in California or it's floods in Mississippi. You know, there's always something new coming along.
It is, but if you make it too frequent, you're basically changing the react to data calls to just always reacting. You know what I mean? So,
but the buildup is well defined by the community, right? Like you build up. Well, now we're capturing flood zones and the amount of those slows down because not everybody does it their own way and not everybody has to add a new one every time, right? We're building up as a community standard. We're building that standard every time we have to add new fields, right?
Yeah, and I assume that there will be a growing pain of fields getting added as people get their feet under them and understand what data is available to, necessary to get the insights that are required, right? And there'll probably be some early iteration on those data fields. But if it starts becoming that the fields across all these lines that need to be added into this HDS are changing rapidly, then instead of saying, wow, all I have to do is maintain a set of data and then people can call their data calls on my existing set of data, and that took so much OpEx off me and complexity off me, that starts to erode if I have to constantly be updating these backend data sources to pull in new forms of data. And so it starts looking like I didn't really solve my original problem so much as moved it. Does that make sense? The concern?
Yeah, I think you know, you're clearly stating what you're thinking. I think that it's all conjecture right now what that's going to look like, right? We think that that's going to be less because there's a common way of doing everything.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true. That's why I was saying I don't know what the exact frequency is, but I would not. I would expect the addition of fields to the base data set to not be a common occurrence.
And that speaks to how much pre-work you do, you know, when you're building the standard itself and how much you want to get started, right? It's always, right? That's a pretty standard trade-off to thinking
about. Yeah. When I say that, let me say steady state. Yep. When steady state, I would anticipate it not needing. Like, if you know, there's probably going to be like this underdamped response, or there's a lot of swinging back and forth on what's the right amount of data.
And the best case is that it's not a pain to add new fields, right? That people can just say, oh, is it okay to add a field? And then we add a field, and nobody's really had a big problem. That hasn't been a big problem. I don't know the reality of that because if you have to change a bunch of backend systems to provide that new thing, trivial and some might be, oh my God, that's 4 months.
that's the reason. And then, because that's the thing, you know, we feed these just for auto 11 backend systems.
Yep.
Right. So adding one field might not be the easiest thing to do, you know? And so if we have to dedicate a lot of time to constantly changing the core data set, and again, I'm like a broken record here, it starts to erode the value prop of here's the data we need. We can do a lot from this data. We can do data calls from this data. And yes, every once in a while, when a new data call comes in or a new problem comes in, we can add that data, c'est la vie. But to be doing it very regularly is a concern. It starts, I'm not saying it does, I think it starts to erode the value proposition, at least in our eyes. And so it's okay. A big concern.
So going back to the first function that we need to capture, right, which is loading of the data. That's not really necessarily done in the adapter, but the attestation that the data is good, it requires something with the adapter, because we want to keep that attestation on the ledger. Did I have that right, Truman? Like, right? We want to keep the fact that somebody's attested to the value of their data and keep that on the ledger, right?
Yes. And then when it's used for an extraction, that data that was attested to be good is the same data used in the extraction. And the way we can, and that's really easy to do when, you know, when there's hash matches. It's very difficult to do and have it work out when you're doing it at the point of extraction and you want to reverse engineer the data that's used in that context and make sure each of it, depending on however it was loaded by the company, you know, is good enough for a potentially different regular, you know, data call purpose, because not all data calls are annual stat reporting. Some of them are important.
So does that mean that once attested to, the data itself can't change?
Not without being in the context of the system, which is why I suggest going to a level of policy integrity, because that way, if one policy is thrown off, one person claims GDPR, for example, and used to delete the customer record, not that since there's no bookmarking of the data, the entire query is, if one record is thrown off, the entire batch that's requested is thrown off, because the batch and a chunk is a function. And if any batch or chunk is bad, cannot be reverse engineered at runtime, which is going to be a huge lift from a processing perspective. If that doesn't work out, everything is broken, right? So what you got to, what I'm lobbying for is changing our definition of batch and chunk to policy. Then you can go as fast as you want and be as shallow or as wide as you want, right?
Around I don't know anybody we're still talking about chunk or batch. I think we have that because of what was there before.
Well, you know, until we solve that and get to a point of what is in the harmonized data store, why it's there, and then what you can then use it for. Until we get to that point, you know, it's really, you know, just reinventing the wheel, right? You know, all we're trying to do is get a node that has the facts of policy experience as a carrier sees it into a system of integrity such that it can be used for whatever regulatory reporting that carrier is subject to as it relates to the extraction patterns that come down. You know, and right now the bar is stat plan data and monthly line of business.
So I think the disconnect is it's a state function, right? It's not. It doesn't matter how I got there. The history doesn't matter. The HDS is a state function, right? If I update it last week.
In terms of its statefulness, right? The statefulness of the policy experience it represents, the facts about policies that are in there, not a state regulator function, but a stateful.
Yeah,
function.
It's like, yeah, like the scientific version of a state function, right? It doesn't matter. It's not a path. There's no path integral that matters, right? It's just, what is it today? Right. Yeah, so.
I don't think that's correct, because every query is going to ask about a different day, right?
Right. It's what is it now, right? Now is different than today, right? It's, you know, what if I want to know right now what this policy looked like on some date history, or what it might look like in some date forward, now is the function.
So don't we have to match the query to the hash? So that we know when we ask that query again, we get the same hash, that we know the data hasn't changed. Because
Well, so that if each policy has integrity, if the hash for each policy is good, right, then all the policies that are used to create the experience are good.
Right. So we can't hash at the policy level, because the policy is changing by history over time as well, right? So let me just finish this thought. I'm trying to bring this together in my brain. So if we say that we're going to do a data call, and it's going to require up to, you know, January 2022 from January 2021 for flood zones in Mississippi, I need all that information, right? So as of the end of January 2021, everybody attests that their data is good, right? Then what they're doing is they're saying that if you were to query about 2021, right, you should get this data back because that's what I put there. And that's what the data call is going to say. I have to have 2022, January 2022 data to this level there. And you've attested that's true. So I can look at the ledger and I can get the hash for that query, right? And say, when I query it, do I get the same hash out of the data I was returned from the initial query? Something like that. That's the only way.
Well, because
the query is going to be different.
You can do it today. That's true.
Yeah, but that's not what you'd really expect. So it's not really valid through the date of the query. It really depends when it was queried. So if I'm updating my HDS, let's call it every month for simplicity, the loss development, the policy development that occurs from, let's make it simple and say all of 2019. If I'm January 31st of 2020, you run 2019, you're going to get one answer and it's the correct answer. If you run it on February 29th or 28th, whatever it is, it will not be the same answer and it's still correct.
I think I disagree with that. So let me see if I do or don't, right? Because when you said you put 2021 in there, right? And you attested to it, 2019, when you put the 2019 data in there and you attested that it's in there, it shouldn't change from the time you attested it to the time it's queried.
Well, it depends. Because in reality, it does, right? Because policy development usually or almost does not change. It does change every month, right? So whatever we report, as our losses develop, as our claims develop, as policies make changes, as those things develop over time, month to month to month, the answer is truly different every month. And it's still correct.
But unless
you want us to freeze our loss reporting experience, but that's really hard to manage then. That means I have to freeze all of these data sets at different times, depending on what's being asked of me.
Yeah, I don't want that. You know, one is look at you maintain your experience as fast as you can, right? If that's by month, great, right? But the key is that you're adding another month of experience and you may be cleaning up errors in history or exercising GDPR for policies that have already been AKA finalized by month, because they're not finalized for the quarter until the quarter is reported. They're not finalized for the year until the year is reported.
Didn't you just open up to the error that I wiped out all my 2019 data that I attested to and now I'm getting nothing back, but the data is good because I attested to it?
Yep.
That's not a valid situation.
I know, that's the point. That's why we've got to get it to. You are maintaining history at a policy level that is there because if you wipe out the 2019 data, then depending on if those policies existed, what are you asking for, right? And again,
we're not wiping, we're making it more. So for example, if I have, again, I'm stepping out of my expertise here. I'm not a statistical reporting expert at Travelers, but I have all of 2019's auto data agreed upon. That is in the note, right? Someone says, I want a stat report, traditional stat plan for that data. And when would that get delivered to me? 2021, probably, right, for 2019?
Something like that, yeah.
So hold on. I just want to finish this thought real quick before I lose it. But say someone with a data call in the middle of 2020 wants to do a data call on that same data. If I haven't updated that 2019 data in the 6 months since I wrote it, that data call pulled in 2020 will not be accurate. It'll only reflect my experience as of the 6 months prior when I update it. But because of development, the data is different. I don't want that either, right?
Then I don't see how you can attest on update. You have to attest when the pull happens,
exactly.
But yeah, because I can't see how you can say on January 21st, I put all my 2019 data, it'll be fine. And then when they call in June, the data is different than what you attested to. I don't see how that's a valid situation.
Well, you're attesting to the data as of the day, you know what I mean? Like, because we all know these things develop over time, right?
You have to attest the changes were done within the construct of the trust and the integrity of the data. Right, that's the key.
But then a hash doesn't mean anything the first time you attest.
Not if it's at a batch or a chunk. That's exactly right.
Oh, well, you can't do it at a policy level either because
you could do it at a month as long as you, when you modified one of the policy experiences within that month, said, oh, it's changed. I got to rehash the month.
Well, see, Jeff said something really interesting in the chat that, you know, I think that's complexity that should live on the analytics side, right? If AIS or whoever the stat agent is for a given call wants to keep a snapshot of the aggregated data, the final poll, that's okay.
But that's not hashing. Right, we're not hashing the aggregated data, right? We're hashing the raw data to make sure that the raw data that is used.
But then you're asking for a lot of data duplication because am I missing something? I feel like I'm fundamentally missing something.
The idea is that each carrier's node effectively has a ledger per policy that represents the experience that in the HDS of each policy, right? That it's not going to be a ledger per, but you will have records that will create a ledger per policy, right? You know, in aggregate. And when a policy is updated, if you want to know of an integrity of a month of line of business, of the policies in a line of business in a state, for example, and the experience of those, you can say, oh, I changed one. This one had an error in it. And you can recreate the hash that AIS would have that says, yep, Travelers month of auto policy experience for this month is still good. And it has changed.
I think we have to consider the idea of having a hash per policy per change on the ledger. It's going to be incredible amounts of data on the ledger.
Well, hang on. For at the moment, I don't disagree, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that each policy has to have integrity. If we're talking about the lowest, the chunk of our data that we're going to guarantee integrity for is a line of business by a company in a state in a time period, right?
Across all policy.
Well, I mean, if you want to do all your regulatory reporting. But it's each of them has to be good in order for all of them to be good, right?
I'm not following.
It's the same thing, right? The whole thing to have integrity, we match it up on a quarterly basis of all the data is in there. Does it match the NAIC financial data? And it does it, you know, within tolerances because those are they're apples and oranges, right? But that's where they're going to show up. So it's not exact, but it's going to be close enough. And then you have to say, okay, if it looks like I've got all of the experience captured, then you break it down by the companies that are involved in that experience, because they're different legal entities, the states that experience is located, the lines of business within the states that is located, and then the policies that make up that experience, right?
So
over the time period.
The only way I could see this working then is if we limit it to always be calendar year reporting only and forever. Otherwise,
if you're maintaining your experience of how your book of business exists and the experience that you've done, then you can do whatever reporting you want. The question is, what reporting do you want to do with it? If it's your policy administration system, you know, in real time, but maybe subject to errors at any given moment, you may not want to do regulatory reporting, but you might do something else with it. You know, if it's for the only purpose that we have in mind at this point is annual stat reporting, you know, that I think that when you talk about value proposition, I think that's all the farther we're going here with Travelers, right?
Well, no,
calls are later. Everything else is day two.
Yeah, but right? we're not designing a system that can never do day two.
Well, we are though, right? That's when you put these in, you're putting in constraints that prevents it from doing anything other than the one thing it does. Or we can say, you can maintain your information according to however, as an insurance company you want. Travelers will do it monthly according to the stat plan. And it will be maybe a month delay or a week delay. And that's what you'll have in your harmonized data store. That's great. But that's not the way, you know, other folks day two may be day one. And so what, but at the end of the day, you know, if it's going to be just for annual reporting, then you're going to attest to having policy level experience for each month, for each company that is in the Travelers organization, for each line of business, and it will be good enough for the annual statutory regulatory reporting, and maybe APSO, right?
And that's great.
That's one level. But other folks are going to have more discrete levels and more specific levels. Again, like the North Dakota uninsured motorists. There's like three fields in there, too.
Yeah, but I think we're still saying, I envision the HDS. I think, Ken, you were hitting on it a little bit. I'm not envisioning batches and chunks. I'm envisioning being up to date to the best of our data and experience.
Yours.
Yes, right. I
Travelers.
I agree with that, David. So let's go back to, I think we're all envisioning the same HDS. Let's make sure that's true first. That it's just a bunch of policies and the history of transactions against those policies, both right. Premium and claims transactions by policy, organized by policy in the HDS, right? That's roughly the HDS that I envisioned, at least.
Right. Okay. And it's
every day, every week, it might change, but we're adding new transactions to that.
And correcting old ones.
Right. That's now we have to see if we're on the same page, right? Do you actually go back and replace an old transaction in that policy, or do you create a new one that sort of reverses that one?
Well, it's usually the way we do it, it's an additional record, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're fixing things by adding new records, right? Fixed records.
Because each month of data that we get is effectively self-contained.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Every transaction.
Whereas if we were to treat this as more of like a ledger, we only need to manage the things that change, right? Then it can be a much lighter data stream when we can rely and remember history instead of trying to recreate everything every month.
Which is roughly the model of this, of the stat plan, right? They send us transactions that update, they give APRP, whatever, for a particular coverage, for a particular, you know, policy, et cetera. So if that's roughly the history, right? So, and we have transaction date on every single thing, right? So even though the state of the policy might have changed, we can actually, because every policy is in itself a little ledger, we can go back to a date and say, as of this date, I'm not sure, I'm just talking, I don't even know if I'm talking validity. We really need to query what was the policy as of this date as far as coverage, right? And the transaction that happened after that date could actually be retroactive, right?
Well, but it also depends. It assumes that all transactions are error. There's no error, right? Because there's two things. There's one, it's a correct transaction that alters something, right? There was an alteration to the experience of the policy or something. It's a correct transaction. There's also the case of mistakes, right? In which case that if you were to run, say you found a mistake in your ETL process, right?
No.
That would lead to something that looks different than an actual valid transaction on a policy, right? And we would want to not have to maintain the inaccurate history because of a bad ETL job, because that's what's required to live in the HDS. Does that make sense? If I were to get every transaction correctly into the HDS, error-free 100% of the time, then you're right. Every time I add transactions, they're valid transactions, and every history is valid. But that's not always the case. There could be errors, in which case old transactions could be invalid, and would you want them to stay invalid? Would I have to leave them incorrect?
Right. Agreed. So where I struggle is, how do we represent this with a hash?
I don't know why you need a hash, to be honest with you. But,
okay,
you know,
let me back that up one level, right? How do we represent that you guys have put the data, Travelers has put the data in that's expected of you? Where's the trust and the attestation to this is good data for this purpose? Right, whether it's a hash or whatever, how do we manifest that Travelers has stated that the data we put in there is that in the past it's just you ran the report and you gave them the result, right? So
I think that's still the only way to essentially do it. I don't think the hash does much other than say we didn't change it. It doesn't mean it was ever, the hash doesn't help you say it's valid to begin with. It just tells you that it hasn't been changed in my mind. Am I missing?
I think the reverse. It actually tells you it's valid to begin with, right? And the first time you use it, it says, yep, 1 month of data has been reported. Here's the hash.
Well, it tells you 1 month of data is reported. It doesn't tell you it's good data.
It's as good as it is. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know,
but it doesn't add
through, in confidence. Order to get on there, it's gone through the SDMA, it's gone through the quality checks. But to your point, we don't have a quarter's worth of NAIC financial data to know if we have all of it. Right. It's just what it's to that point right there. It's just all only it is. It is what you say it is.
Exactly. And it still is, I guess in this case, it's still the same idea. It is what we say it is as it lies in the right. HDS.
The next the hash, one, right?
The hash the would say, was it, did a change occur between right. the last hash and the new hash? Right. But right. I mean,
so next month, another month of data comes in plus corrections to prior months, transactions that may have corrected errors. So here's the first thing that'll do is go through that batch of data and say, here's the transactions that occurred retroactively. So we're going to rebuild last month's data with the new transactions and get a new hash for last month. Then we're going to apply this month's transactions and get a new hash for this month. And now we've got fresh data everywhere.
See, then that means I have to maintain. No. That's the complexity I don't want, because to do that, I basically have to, in the HDS, maintain what I wrote last month, all those transactions, in parallel, write the new transactions, generate a hash from the old incorrect ones, compare them to the new correct ones. Like, that just seems like a lot of complexity that doesn't really need to exist.
Yeah, no, I get where, you know, where, why you would do that. Or, you know, there's another way to approach that, you know, where as long as the change to the policy state was maintained in the ledger, you do not need to maintain the historical data. You only need to maintain the current state, or at least the state as it existed at particular points, so that it can be calculated, which will either be end of month or end of quarter, or since time has passed, whenever a significant event occurred.
But isn't adding the monthly hashes a complexity that doesn't actually, because at the end of the day, this is 1 year. Right. I mean, the month is just arbitrary.
Again, for you, yes, because you're looking at it for annual regulatory reporting. That's correct. You're the only one looking at it like that. We were looking at it for a lot of other reasons than annual reporting, because at the end of the day, no, that's not.
No. I'll say I am not just looking at it from annual. I wish you would
just
say
said at the end of the day. That's not the end of the day.
No. I said in a use case, a month is an arbitrary timeline that just happens to be how we do it today. Right, we do month chunks. They don't mean anything to what we do it monthly because of internal reasons. Right,
right.
The month doing hash at the end of the month is kind of meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. We don't have to do it. What really matters is we attest when it's time to do the extraction, the final extraction. We attest that data is valid for that time period, right. And as of the time of the extraction.
You got right now consent. By consenting to it, you are implicitly doing that, saying whatever my data says is what I say.
Yeah. So where does having a hash on the ledger add value? Is I guess where I struggle.
You move it to actual data integrity in terms of validation and completeness, instead of saying my data says what it says, eat it or leave it, right?
But I still can't nail down what hash provides that.
It provides something.
The only hash is that this company identified on the system consented. There's a hash for that. And then the query ran, and whatever the query picked up was sent up reliably. No validation as to the, you know, the garbage in, garbage out problem. Just validates that you agreed to run it. It ran and did or did not deliver something. And that something was received. That's it, right? I mean, that's what we have today. Right. So there's no more.
But you could do that with a transaction log. I guess I'm not seeing why the hash adds a ton of value there either. If all you're concerned with
it doesn't. There's no reason to do that, because there's no integrity to the data other than it is what I say it is, and take it or leave it. Right. You know, but that's what we have today. The only reason that works is because it's going through a stat agent. Right. Before it makes it out, we don't let the bad things through. But in the future case, you know, if it's just another data call and you say, yep, I'll consent to it. Here's what my data says. there's no reconciliation unless the you know the specific construct context of the data call has that. However, if we say data is coming in every month and it's what the carrier says, and then every quarter we reconcile it to NAIC as we get quarterly data for NAIC, and then every year we reconcile it to NAIC annual data as it's finalized, then it's good enough to be used more frequently at this level, but not perfectly. Then annually, it can be used more perfectly because it's reconciled against everything else. And that history, after it's finalized to pay taxes, isn't going to change without some changes.
Except, don't we have to, again, reconcile, because it could have changed between the time we first reconciled it with NAIC and the time we need to actually do the statistical report?
Of course. Yeah. So, I hope so, right? Of course, right? Whether it's due to errors or whether it's due to somebody claiming GDPR or losing a case and having to pay retroactive claims, or
but go back to something you said, which was when a carrier consents, for all intents and purposes, they are saying my data is up to snuff for this purpose.
At this time.
Yeah. And why do we need anything more than that?
Because that's the only, and we generally don't, but then there's no reason to even have blockchain, right? Why are we doing any of this if we're not going to have any guarantee of data integrity other than it is what I say?
Well, I'm struggling to find where we can put a hash on the blockchain that adds that trust.
You need to have you need to define how far you need to trust the data that's in the system and what you're using it for, because the purposes of annual statistical reporting a year and a half after it took place is one thing. But if we're talking about a more real-time view of policies in force and VIN coverages for minimum uninsured, you know, motorist liability in a particular state, it needs to be something else. And it's going to be less perfect, right? You know, it's going to be appropriate for certain things and not others. How far are you going to trust the data? And that needs to be defined. Otherwise, it's not good for anything. If I don't know how good it's, what it's good for, it's not good for anything.
So this is Joan. I think there's going to be multiple uses of data that's in the harmonized data store. And I want to go back to the idea that if we, whatever goes into the harmonized data store, if it's been run through some industry understood processes for quality assurance, then you can place something, a hash on chain that says, as of this date, this data was loaded by this carrier. It passed the quality assurance checks for regulatory reporting. And that is self-reporting by the carrier as it is today. And it's good. It's good data, right? Mm-hmm. That's fine. There's actually going to be data that's less clean that might be used for some other purpose. And it may not be defined by the regulatory reporting groups. There may be for certain claims transactions or other data that needs to be transferred to people quickly. It hasn't run through that level of quality assurance, but it's good enough for what we need to do. So what we're placing in the harmonized data store today to get something up and running is for regulatory reporting. So if a carrier self-certifies, I ran it through this process, and it's as good as anything you ever got before through regulatory reporting, I say it's good, but you know what? It's even better now because it's monthly data. The regulators are looking to collaborate with us on that definition. How can they get data sooner and trust it? So if you can do that, David, if you can say, I've run it through these checks that everybody's agreed are great, and here it is, and here's a hash on chain, I think they would be interested in accepting that. And then we'll move on to the next one. After we get this one up and running, the next use case or the next scenario or the next level of data quality, let's tackle that later.
And that's essentially what I'm saying. I still don't see how the hash helps, but I'm not opposed to it, right? You can hash the data and throw it on chain, because unless I maintain that data as it stood forever, the hash will never match again. So
I can explain that though, David, as a, this is AAIS disintermediating itself. Because one of the things that we do is a carrier sends us data and says, this is good. And then AAIS as a stat agent runs a bunch of checks against it to say, yes, this matches all these other things that we've put in place. we're trying to move that back to where the carriers can say, this is good. Mm-hmm. And you don't need AAIS to say it's good. We've run it through these checks. And so they also ask us, they audit us on a regular basis that says, did you get data from all these carriers on time? And was it good data on time? If you write the hash on chain, you are certifying and they have a record that you delivered good data on time. And that gets us out of the middle.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I guess we could also, but it doesn't have to be a hash of the data. It just has to be a record on chain that we delivered data at the requested time, right?
Yeah. I'm
kind of meaningless.
The idea was to make it, it matched. Whoops, it matches the data that was loaded as of that. The hash does that. It says this data, and if you pulled up that data set again, it should match.
Unless someone perpetuates that data set somewhere in perpetuity, like perpetuates that data set as it stood that day, which I don't intend to do on my HDS. I don't intend to leave the data as it stood that day forever. So someone else would have to do that to make that hash reverse verifiable.
And then we don't necessarily use that data later when we actually consent, right?
Because it might have changed by the next month. So you'd want the newer data, not the older data.
Yeah.
More accurate.
I see the attestation. I totally understand every time we load data, I've run it through these things and I attest that it's quality data. But it's hard to use a hash to prove that it hasn't changed because we know it will change.
Yeah. Or
likely to change.
And folks, this is Sean. I'm going to have to make that the last word because we got 2 minutes to go and I have a big question for everyone. This is a holiday weekend coming up and I don't have kids, so I have no idea when people's children are going back to school or out or what holidays look like. Do we want to meet again? Can we all meet again next Monday at 3 p.m. same time?
I can.
I can also.
It's going to be Ken, Sean, Peter, and David. That sounds like a great call. I'm going to send out notes after the call. Ken, to your point at the start, I'm going to type up some notes as to where we left off based on the recording. I'm going to send that out to everybody on the TSC. Please, if you get a chance, join the architecture working group. When I send out these notes to everyone, I will include a link to how to sign up for the email list so we can start moving all this off the TSC list and moving on to the architecture list. I would like to thank everybody who's joined us today. I have updated the wiki. Okay, Satish, thank you. I've updated the wiki, and I just want to say thank you to everyone for a great conversation, and I think everyone's got to drop off the top of the hour. Any last words before we go?
The Data Model Working Group is postponing for Good Friday, so we won't be there.
No Data Model Working Group call on Friday. Thank you, Peter. And I'm going to straighten out the calendar again. There is no TSC call this Thursday. Apologies to everyone in the TSC and everybody else. I will get this fixed. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Great day, y'all. I'm going to stop recording now.
Thank you.